The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com. Hello and welcome to the latest live episode of Wrestling with Jonas, episode 343. I've got none other than the current Immortal Wrestling Women's Champion, the current CPW Women's Champion, the deadly one herself, Nightshade. Nightshade, thank you so much for coming onto the show. This has been a long time in the works, but how are you doing?
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing really well, thank you. How are you?
Very, very good. Very, very good. Happy to be. I'm delighted. I'm chuffed to be speaking to you. Like I say, I think I've wanted to get this done for a long time now, and I'm delighted to finally make it happen. But for anybody watching at home, if you want to get in touch with the show, we are live. We're live across Facebook, Twitch, YouTube Live, and of course X, which is the newest platform that we're streaming on. So if you want to get in touch with the show, you can do. Just send us your question through to us using your chosen device, and we'll do our very best to answer all the questions live on Wrestling with Jonas. We've had quite a few questions coming already, I can see.
A few
that dropped in before we went live. So a much anticipated guest. But before we take a deep dive with Nightshade, just a quick reminder of some of my recent guests. So hopefully encourage you to hit that like and subscribe button wherever you're watching this. Recent guests have included Session Moth Martina. Back in November, we spoke to Martina. In December, we had the Queen of Mean herself, Lana Austin. And my most recent live guest, Miles Kamen, the current BWR Cruiserweight Champion, was on the show last week. My next live guest on the 30th, just 7 days' time, I've got the current Southwest Wrestling Brit Pro Cup Champion, Axel Carter. And of course, just a few days ago, I announced my February lineup. It's looking like this. We've got Jay Joshua on the 8th. We've got Scotty Rourke on the 12th, Alexis Falcon coming onto the show on the 20th, and on the 29th, we've got the guys from United. Now, if you stay to the very end of this interview, I've got an exclusive announcement. My very first guest of March will be announced, and it's a big one, so stay with us. But of course, it's all about this lady here, the deadly one herself, Nightshade.
Thank you so much
for coming on to the show. And 2023's been was a fabulous year, but it's already been a wonderful 2024, because if we think back to a few weeks ago, Pro Wrestling Eve, and when I introduced you, I was a little bit confused about how to introduce you, and I kind of nearly stumbled over my words a little bit. And of course, I introduced you as Nightshade, but I could have introduced you as Lampshade, because as many of our viewers may know, you won the Pro Wrestling Eve Multiverse Rumble. I think it was early January, maybe the 4th or the 5th. Your alter ego. Now, Multiverse Rumbles are always great fun. You never know quite what you're going to get. But I never quite expected to see Nightshade as Lampshade. Tell us about it.
So, I'm actually wearing my Lampshade t-shirt today.
Classic.
So, I thought almost every single interview I wear my Nightshade, but I thought, you know what, as it's so soon since the multiverse, I thought I would actually wear the Lampshade t-shirt and be seen in it. So, for years now, people have chanted at me, Lampshade, instead of chanting Nightshade, to have a little dig at me. You know, as a villain, you expect some sort of funny chance, but Lampshade is never one of them that I could have imagined. So I decided to bring Lampshade to life, finally, once and for all, and there's no better place to do it than in the Pro Wrestling Eve Multiverse Rumble. And somehow she made it all the way through to the end, entered third, went through to the end and won it, even though I couldn't see under my lampshade.
Well, this is it. I'm going to bring up the picture again. And I've seen clips of that match. I've seen clips of you in the Rumble. I'm amazed you were even able to get into the ring, let alone win the whole thing. How awkward was it to kind of have that thing on your head? And of course, it's illuminated as well, so you're probably blinded as well as not having great vision anyway. What was it like to perform in?
I literally could not see a thing. Like, truly could not see anything. So I think the fans that were there at the time, as the seats were quite low in comparison to the ring, I think they could see a lot more of me than I could see in general. So I think they were probably under the assumption that I could see a lot more than I could. But now I literally could hardly see anything. But thankfully, lampshade is an inanimate object. So, you know, I only really came to life here and there. And everyone ended up leaving me alone and not attempting to eliminate me.
Absolutely, absolutely. But it started off your 2024 you know, in great fashion. Of course, here's a little picture of some of the characters there. I think we had Mario, Luigi, The Mask, and one or two others. And of course, you mentioned your T-shirt. And of course, I'm going to talk about your merch a bit later. But it is available currently on your Big Cartel. I'll just bring up the little ticker now, because you can go to Nightshade's Big Cartel, and we'll give it a full plug later on. I'm just waiting for it to kind of scroll along there. But do you know your Big Cartel off the top of your head, Nightshade?
I do. I believe it's nightshadewrestler.bigcartel.com.
There we go. But so we'll talk more about your merch later. But that very T-shirt the Nightshade is wearing is available on her Big Cartel already.
It is. And I do have a lamp on my head, just like in the multiverse.
But you don't plan on kind of expanding that gimmick into other promotions, do you? Or is it just a one-off? Or maybe we'll see it in next year's Multiverse Rumble. Any plans to kind of bring it back, maybe?
Honestly, I think we'll some peepholes. Have to see where Lampshade goes. You know, she's got an undefeated streak currently. So
There we go. But I mean, you've got a long history with Pro Wrestling Eve. Not necessarily underneath a lampshade, but as Nightshade. I think you started with them back in 2018. So it's been a long journey with them. But I think in many people's estimation, you've been quite unlucky not to have been involved in more title programs or the title picture throughout your career with them. Do you think having won that Multiverse Rumble might have set you up for maybe a pretty good and maybe successful year with Pro Wrestling Eve, possibly with, you know, being in the title picture once or twice, Nightshade? What do you say?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely time Nightshade gets in that title picture. You know, I've come very close with my tag team partner, Sky Smithson, part of the Uprising, which started at 4 and seemingly is down to 2.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's definitely time to start going for the main championships. I think I was so happy as part of my stable and so happy. Still am so happy in the tag team. You know, I absolutely adore the Uprising and have so much fun being part of the Uprising. So, but I think it's definitely time I get some gold in my sights, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, you started 2024 in Pro Wrestling Eve in fine form, so hopefully that continues. But I want to talk a little bit about 2022 and 2023, because I think you firmly established yourself as an international wrestler, as an international talent. And just looking at some of the countries, some of the places that you wrestled in over the last couple of years, Spain, a good handful of times. I think I worked out to be about 8 or 9 times over in Spain, 6 times over in Japan, 6 matches over in Japan in the last couple of years, Finland, Austria, Germany a couple of times, France, and of course, week in, week out across the UK when you're back on familiar surroundings. Do you feel like a proper international performer now? How's it been being a bit of a globetrotter to all them countries and maybe one or two more over the last couple of years?
Yeah, it's been absolutely amazing. Like, my biggest dream has always been to wrestle as many places as possible. And I was so happy with my year. 2023 was definitely one of the best years for my wrestling career. And I was so fortunate to be able to get to so many places. And it was really amazing to have such a busy schedule. Like, I feel every year there's slowly been the upward trajectory. Yeah. But last year was just really special. I was so incredibly busy with the wrestling. And, you know, I was going internationally at least every single month, you know, sometimes every other week I was in a different country for a different show. It was really, really amazing. And I just felt so happy to be able to have these opportunities and to be getting these repeat bookings internationally. So I definitely feel as though I have shown myself to so many different companies and so many different countries, which is just awesome. And it's always such a great experience doing these international shows.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to talk about you being an international champion through 2023. We'll talk about that. But what are some of your favourite aspects about working internationally and being a truly international talent? And we'll talk about specific countries and specific promotions in a moment. But it must be a thrill. Like you say, you're very, very busy anyway. But at least, you know, once every month or a couple of months, you're out of the country. What are some of your favourite aspects of being a truly international talent?
I absolutely love traveling. So to me, it's just an amazing way to travel and see different parts of the world. You know, I get to actually travel and experience somewhere that I might not have ever been before or might not have imagined myself going on a holiday. So it's just a fantastic way to actually see different parts of the world whilst doing like the biggest thing that I love, which is wrestling. So it really is an amazing experience. And I always try to stay a couple of days if it's possible with the schedule and with the company and everything. But yeah, I always do try to actually stay a couple of days in that place, especially if it's my first time going. When it comes to repeat bookings and I feel as though I've explored a lot of the area, I will try and pack more in, but I always try and stay a couple of days in these new locations because I just absolutely love traveling. It's, other than wrestling, it's probably one of my favorite things to do. So it's been amazing that I've been able to travel so much with wrestling.
Yeah, and you get to combine your two favourite passions, travelling and wrestling. But I'll just reel off some of the countries again: Spain, Japan, Finland, Austria, Germany, France. And of course, you're not just wrestling talent that you might not usually face over here in the UK or Europe, but you're also encountering fans from different countries all over the world, different nationalities, different likes and loves as far as pro wrestling is concerned. What some of your experiences been in front of these different fan bases, Nightshade?
Yeah, this is another one of this, apart from the traveling and being able to see a different part of the world, this is probably my second favorite thing about the international bookings, is that I get an opportunity to meet so many new people, because when I'm not Nightshade, I actually am a real people person. I love chatting to people and getting to know new people from different walks of life with different stories. And I absolutely love meeting different fan bases and people from different cultures. So it's really interesting and really eye-opening. And like you mentioned, the fan bases are so different in different countries that you go to. You know, I'm really lucky that I have been to Spain so many times with RCW, but they are one of my literal favorite places to wrestle because their fan base is insane. And there's so many Nightshade lovers over there, which just blows my mind. But I literally have such a crazy following over there that come for every single show, and I've built a bit of a relationship with this audience, and I get to see them every single time I'm there, and it just feels really special. Like the whole everything is just really special.
Yeah, let's talk about that then, because there you are. Unfortunately, you're no longer the RCW champion. I think you dropped that towards the back. In fact, one of your last matches of 2023, I think you dropped it. But
yes.
And here's a picture of yourself going up against Zaya Brookside, who most recently, I think, appeared in an Impact ring. So she's doing really, really well. But, I mean, you also performed for Lucha Libre Barcelona, as well as Revolution Championship Wrestling, both based in Barcelona. I've got to be honest with you, there's probably not many finer places in the world that you could be not only spending a few days, but performing in front of. Barcelona is one of my favourite cities in the world.
Yeah, mine too. I absolutely adore Barcelona, and I adore both RCW and Lucha Libre Barcelona. And like I said, the fan base is just incredible. Unfortunately, I did lose the championship to Takumi Iroha on one of my last wrestling shows of the year. I believe it was the 17th of December. Could be wrong with that date though. But I was lucky
here,
enough.
I believe.
Yes, that's the one. And Takumi is just an outstanding, incredible wrestler. She really is the complete and utter total package. And so I feel very fortunate that I was able to drop the title to someone with such an incredible, incredible name and such incredible talent. And just having a match with Takumi is, you know, amazing in its own right. But I was the champion for over a year. I was the champion for a
420 days.
Yeah.
420. That's absolutely phenomenal. And I think Takumi there, you wrestled a few times in 2023 over the championship, and it was that final match in December where she did finally overcame you, and she took your championship. But a wonderful championship reign, and like I say, a company that you're very, very associated with and have a lot of passion for. But I'm guessing that you'll be looking to go back over to RCW or maybe Lucha Libre Barcelona sometime in 2024?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm already going over there for their first show of the year, which is in March. So that's a bit of an exclusive. I don't think I'm advertised yet.
That's all right. We like exclusives.
But I absolutely, even though I'm no longer champion, I'm going to be trying my absolute best to get it back. And I want, you know, will be doing my absolute hardest to remain going over there and being in the wrestling circuit in Spain. So... it's, they've definitely not seen the last of me.
I'm sure. And we mentioned Japan. Now, you started going over to Japan in about 2019. I think you had a short tour over there in 2019 where you introduced yourself to the Japanese audience. You went over there again. Now, I think it was in about October 2022. And then more recently, you had your longest tour over there. I think it was maybe for a month or two in the second half of 2023. I'm going to flash up some pictures here, probably from when you first got introduced over there, when you were first going over there, 2019, and some early pictures.
Yeah, that was my first ever time in Japan.
Some stunning pictures here.
Oh, and, I look like such a baby in the first place. Crazy.
Not at all. But
Five years ago.
Wow, that long ago, really. Absolutely fantastic. And maybe some more. I think this might have been of 2022 when you were over
Rhea
O'Reilly. I think I know exactly why you're so popular over in Japan, because I think that usually the foreigner, the British wrestler will normally be the heel. And I think you're kind of like you're one of the baddest heels over here in the UK. I'm sure over in the UK, it's very much the same. But what was your relationship like with the audiences over there and with the wrestling promotions you've wrestled for so far?
I absolutely adore Japan and I love going there to be a wrestler. I think it's truly the best place in the world for wrestling. The level of wrestlers over there and the level of performance and shows is just incredible. And the level of dedication as well to training and everything that it takes to be a wrestler is just really eye-opening and amazing to be around. So as you mentioned, the first time I ever went to Japan was in November 2019, and it was totally a dream come true. It had always been a huge bucket list item of mine to go to Japan and wrestle in Japan, and I went over there with Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling, TJPW, and that was one of the best experiences of my life. And even though I was only there for 2 weeks, I think I did 5 matches. So it was really full on. And I also got a lot of sightseeing time. And I was able to make so many memories with such amazing, amazing friends. So every time I've gone to Japan has been totally different, but also held a really special place in my heart, especially most recently when I did go over the summer I went for just over 6 weeks.
Yes.
So almost, you know, a month and a half, almost 2 months. And it was my first time properly experiencing the training regime that they have over there in Japan. And this was with Marvelous, not Tokyo Joshi. And I stayed, for almost 2 months. And I trained almost daily. We trained about 4 or 5 times a week for 4 hours a day when we did train. And I feel as though I learned so many amazing skills And it was just such a fantastic opportunity that I will forever hold as such an amazing part of my wrestling journey.
Absolutely. And although that was your most recent kind of stint over in Japan, you said it was 6 weeks, nearly 2 months. What are some of your biggest takeaways from your time over there, especially the more recent longer tour, of course, that you just explained? Because, you know, being out there training every day, the training regime is grueling from what I've heard from other talent that have been over to Japan. But what are some of your biggest takeaways from your time in Japan that you try to utilize and practice elsewhere across the world and the UK, of course?
I think it totally opens your eyes up to their level of dedication and their level of training. It is totally grueling. It's unlike anything you can really imagine. The training is so, so good and so specific. And I think that is the biggest part that I take away from Japan. It really is their mindset, and they really believe that they can achieve absolutely anything if they work hard enough. And I'm a huge believer in that. I really think anything that you put your mind to, you can do and you can achieve if you're willing to put the work in and put that effort in. And that's just so evident when I go over to Japan. But they're also just such kind, beautiful, wonderful people. So not only are they crazy athletes, but they're also like some of the kindest people I've ever met. And it just, I think it really inspires you personally to do better and to be better and to train harder and always try and be nice and in a good mood. And I think it really, really helps you as a overall person. You know, I think you learn a lot of life skills for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, one thing I didn't introduce you by is obviously I introduced you as Nightshade, not Lampshade, but I could have introduced you as the Bout Collector, because look at some of these pictures here. There you are with just a few of your accomplishments from 2023. There you are with even more. I think you've got the Cornish Pro Wrestling bout there, the SWF bout, the Immortal Wrestling Women's Championship, and the RCWA Championship. Say just down to two championships at a minute, but there was a point in 2023 where you were holding four of those championships. How did it feel to, you know, have that the gold draped over your arms there and to be the champion of four promotions at the same time?
Yeah, it felt really amazing. You know, to be the champion is such, it's such a pleasure, because it really shows that someone believes in you. And it really, to be the champion and headline a company is really an amazing feeling. And to have, to be holding four champions simultaneously. And that was my, RCW is my first ever international championship.
Yeah.
So that is really, really special to me. But to not only be holding that, but also three championships from the UK scene, it really, really made me feel great. And it really made me feel as though a lot of the hard work I've put into this is paying off. So it felt amazing. And especially as I did have them for quite a significant amount of time together as well, is really awesome. But of course, you can't be a champion forever, unfortunately. The time does come where it comes to the end. So yes, I do currently only have two, the Cornish Pro Wrestling CPW Championship and the Immortal Wrestling Championship.
Absolutely. We'll talk more about Immortal a little bit later on. But another milestone, and I'm sure a huge highlight of yours in 2023, has to be this here. Number 128 in the PWI 250 for 2023. And there you are celebrating with your cupcake there. What did that mean to you? And, you know, when you found out the news that you were going to be, that you were 128 in the PWI 250, I'm not sure if you've been ranked any year previously, but
what were the emotions
when you found out? That must have been a thrill for you.
Yeah, it really, really was. I was not expecting it whatsoever. You know, it's my first time ever placing, my first time ever ranking. I'd never reached out or anything like that to them. So I was really shocked and pleasantly surprised when I opened my Twitter up, and because I didn't have my notifications turned on. So I opened my Twitter up and I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I like placed. I just couldn't believe it, because for years and years and years, even before I started wrestling, I would look at those lists. I don't know actually whether they were before, but ever since they came out,
yeah,
you know, I've looked at those lists and I've admired them and admired everybody that's placed and been featured on them. So to actually make it was really amazing. And I feel as though 128 was such a fantastic number as well, especially for my first time. Like 128 is just...
I mean, when you consider all the talent, all the female talent around the world, all the amazing female talent around the world. And like I said, I've spoken to Sasha Moth, Martina, and Lana, who both appeared in the same list as well. And when you consider, you know, the incredible talent in the UK, let alone worldwide, 128 is an amazing accomplishment. And what it also indicates is it is kind of recognition and justification for all of the hard work, the grind that you've put in over the last 11 or 12 years.
Absolutely. And it was really amazing to just like have those eyes on you. I mean, I know obviously not everyone can be featured, and there are so many people that do deserve to be on there that maybe missed out this year, or, you know, not everyone can make it. But I was really, really pleased. And as you say, it's that recognition. It just goes to show, you know, that I am achieving some of the things that I set out to achieve. And I was just so pleased with 128, like, honestly, like having that little photo shoot holding the cupcake with the 128 number sparklers. I was literally just like, I'm so pleased I'm doing this. Like, it might look a bit, I felt a bit silly almost, like going into that photo shoot with that photographer and being like, oh, it's my, I placed 128th best women's wrestler in the world.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad that I had that moment to actually really celebrate it. Especially last year, I was so busy and everything was so constantly moving. I felt as though I didn't really have time to take a breather and really appreciate the things that were happening and the things that I was doing, because it was just, you know, one after another, constantly just carry on doing the bookings and traveling. So it was really nice to just have that moment and have Absolutely. That photo shoot and just think, oh my gosh, like, this is something I've always wanted. I'm here in the list.
Absolutely. So it's a marvelous accomplishment. It really is. I'm guessing that is hugely motivational as well. Like I say, an accomplishment to kind of tick off all your hard work over the last 12 years. But has it given you a real kind of like motivational boost heading into 2024 to not only want to stay on that list or maybe improve your position, but to have another fantastic year just like you did last year?
Absolutely. Like, I feel so motivated for 2024 and so excited. And I feel as though it's very similar for a lot of wrestlers. Going into the new year, you know, January is usually a very quiet month for wrestling, and it always kind of has been. And I think there's so much unknown and you don't have that many opportunities yet. But going into this new year, I feel so excited and I feel so motivated. I have actually had the remainder of January off from wrestling, from actually taking wrestling shows. Yeah. Other than the Eve Multiverse, I have taken a couple of weeks off to really just try and look after my body and recharge and make sure that I'm going into 2024 as fit as I possibly can be and in the best condition I can be, because wrestling all the time really does take it out of you. And I don't even have a particularly risky athletic style of wrestling, and it's really like beaten my body up. So I felt really great having the last couple of weeks off to kind of get ready again, to get back into the ring and to really try and make 2024 just as special as 2023, or if not even more amazing.
Absolutely. And to have a motivated, re-energized Nightshade is going to take the UK scene and the world by storm, as we have seen. I'm going to jump to some questions and some comments that have come through since
we've gone live. Thank you so much for watching, YouTube. Everyone.
Absolutely. The Joe Panther Variety Show. Fantastic name for a show there. Showing my love all the way from the USA. You are killing it. We got Lewis watching us as well via YouTube. Hi, all.
Hey, Lewis.
Now, Lewis sent another one in. Would you come to ICW in Scotland? I don't know if you've performed much in Scotland or if it's one of your favourite places to travel to, or even if ICW is one of the promotions that you've that you've crossed paths with over the years. But Lewis is asking, would you come to ICW in Scotland?
I have never, ever wrestled for ICW. I've only ever wrestled in Scotland, I believe, once. And I did a tour of Scotland with like a holiday camp, sort of camp show company. And I loved it then. And we were in some really remote areas of Scotland. But ICW is on my list. I absolutely want to come to ICW. I want to be there in all the action. So, you know, get in touch with ICW. And hopefully 2024, you'll be able to see me there, Lewis.
Watch your space. We got Room Travel saying, yes, Jonas, hi, Nightshade. Thank you very much for watching and tuning in. We've got Independent Wrestling Elite. We must get Nightshade on IWE Ring in 2024. Follow her work and hugely impressed. Keep up the good work. So you've got lots of people that are huge supporters of yours. And
let's do it.
That's right. And we will come to more of your questions and comments throughout the course of this interview. Now, one thing that always stands out, Amar, whenever we see you, especially in your entrances and your amazing kind of in-ring performances, your gear. And I've got some pictures here. I'm a huge admirer of your gear, from the headdress to everything that you bring in your entrance, the robe, the in-ring gear, and just the overall presentation, Nightshade, is simply stunning. Tell us a little bit about some of your gear, because I know you do switch it up and change it up from time to time, from the headdress to is it like a cape or something that you wear over your shoulders to the gear itself?
Like my sleeves.
Yes,
because
of course.
It's cropped. It's not like a full length jacket, but it's just the sleeves that are really accentuated. So right. I was based on a cape. I always wanted like an extravagant entrance piece, but I thought capes were so overdone. Like, so many people wore capes or like floor length jackets, and also like I didn't want to wear a big jacket that would cover up my physique and cover up my body and cover up my gear, because I'm so in love with all of my outfits. So I thought,
I think we've momentarily lost Nightshade there. Hopefully she'll rejoin us in a second. But it's been wonderful speaking to Nightshade. Honestly and truthfully, it's been a guest I've been trying to get on for a couple of years now, and we finally made it happen. But just a quick reminder, if you are not already aware, my February lineup is absolutely stacked, as I mentioned there. Scotty Rourke on the 12th. Jay Joshua, who's doing wonderful things all over the country, on the 8th of Feb. We've got Alexis Falcon on the 20th of February, and of course United Wrestling on the 29th. And I think Nightshade is trying to rejoin us. We shall wait just a few seconds. Don't forget, Axel Carter, the current SWW Brit Pro Cup champion, will be joining me next week, next Tuesday, on the 30th, as a matter of fact. Can't wait to speak to Axel Carter. I think he spent a lot of time in 2023 in Mexico, so it'd be great to hear from him. But I think we have our guest back after a blip.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. Technical difficulties.
These things happen. The thing is, when you're live, you know, there's always a risk of something happening. But this is part of the excitement.
I was talking
excitement.
For like minutes before I even know. I was like, blah, 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 talking about my outfit.
But we were talking about your amazing outfits, your amazing costumes. And like I say, what's the inspiration behind the look? And what's the inspiration? I'm sure it's kind of grown and developed over the years to kind of what we have currently. But tell us a bit about the inspiration behind your gear and your outfit as a whole.
Yeah, so I feel as though over the years I've really found my own style, and I've really found like my particular look and what works for me, and I've added pieces gradually that have made up this entire look. But I've always, you know, all of my friends always call me fiery and they always call me feisty. And I thought fire is just something that really resonates with Nightshade. Yeah. So I started having the flames on my outfits. And now I absolutely love having those red and orange tones that I think really complement my skin tone and match my hair colouring. And I think I am fiery. Nightshade's a little firecracker. So I think it's a lovely detailing and it's something that's just recognisable as well. But I do design all of my outfits myself. I will hand draw and design all of my outfits and colour schemes and then take them to my incredible gear maker.
Give them a shout out.
Yeah, my absolutely incredible gear maker, Brujadora. She is in America, so I don't actually get it made on my home turf. She's an American gear maker, Danny. But she's absolutely awesome and I love working with her. She's an incredible designer as well. And I have so much trust in her. A few times I have been like, what would you recommend for this section, or what would you, and we kind of collaborate our ideas so that I feel like we create something really special. But it's one of my favorite days getting a new outfit. Comes through the post and you've been waiting for months and you spent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds and you're just, oh, honestly, getting new outfits make me so happy and so excited.
Absolutely, absolutely. The other headdress I like of yours is the spiky one. You almost look like the Statue of Liberty. I don't know if you wear that much nowadays, but that was always a classic Nightshade look.
I lost it.
You lost it? Oh, no.
I lost it. I was so upset because when my original headpiece is the roses one with the two roses on. And that was custom made. I like custom chose the colors and I didn't choose the design. It was like the design was already like a mold, but you could customize the color of roses. This is the one.
That's the one.
And you could customize the color of gems and the metal color. And I loved it. But I decided to try and find pieces that weren't customized for my headpieces because it just became such an expense and I would constantly crush them and break them or forget them at venues. So yeah, I lost my spiky one.
Such a shame.
I've never bought a replacement. So maybe I'll have to bring it back.
We had somebody that reached out to us before the show went live, a certain Jake Pugh, renowned commentator and UK ring announcer. Nightshade, one of the best wrestlers on the UK scene, and I'm so proud to see her develop over the years to become the person she is today. Keep smashing it. So thank you, Jake, for reaching out. I was going to ask you, now your name, Nightshade, it's almost very reminiscent of maybe a Marvel character, maybe a Marvel villain or a comic book villain or maybe a comic book hero. But we did have somebody reach out to ask the inspiration behind your name. So Lewis, once again, watching us via YouTube. Thank you, Lewis. How did the name Nightshade come from, or where did it come from?
Yeah, so you hit the nail literally on the head. I always wanted to have like a real superhero / supervillain style name. I always wanted to create a complete and utter alter ego because Nightshade is just totally different to who I am. Like I put all my Nightshade outfit on and I am transformed into a completely different person. And I really, for me personally, I never wanted like a standard first name and surname. I really wanted like a singular name that just sounded like it was something straight out of a comic book. Yeah. So I always liked Poison Ivy. And of course, like with my ginger red hair, my colouring, I thought Poison Ivy would be lovely. And I've had green outfits in the past and it's still a colour I very much am drawn to. So I wanted something similar to Poison Ivy. And I thought, what about Deadly Nightshade? And I just thought it had such a cool ring to it. I later on discovered that there was a gladiator called Nightshade. And I loved the gladiators when I was little. And I'm starting to watch the new series that's just aired.
Back. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Absolutely.
So, Yeah, that's kind of really where Nightshade was born.
There we go. But Lewis, I hope that answers your question. I believe it did. But I mean, going back through your career, I think we alluded to it earlier, celebrating 12 years in the business. So that would have been 2012 when you first got in. But skipping ahead a little bit and kind of going through your history, going through your matches, I believe the period around 2017 and 2019 were really kind of groundbreaking as far as your career is concerned. Probably two or three of your best years, to be honest with you. And British wrestling was at its absolute heights and being recognized all over the world. But I mean, you were breaking in and doing fantastic things for companies like PCW, breaking into pro wrestling Eve in 2018 as well. And those 2 or 3 years, I think, were very, very pivotal and groundbreaking as far as your career was concerned. Do you have fond memories of those 2 or 3 years, 2017, 18, and 19?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, as you say, they were pivotal. They, you know, I started really, really young, and I didn't really know who I was or who I wanted to be. And it took me a really, really long time to grasp anything wrestling related. Like, it did not come naturally to me whatsoever. And you can still probably notice that at times. But I think those couple of years really were the beginning of Nightshade and who I feel as though I was really starting to understand my character and develop a certain character and style. And they were definitely absolutely influential in who Nightshade is now. And they were really my breakout years. As you say, I had a really long run with PCW, who was, you know, a really, really popular company. And I was their women's champion for a number of months, if not a year. I think that was also at least almost a year run, perhaps even just over. And I did have my first couple of matches at Pro Wrestling Eve in 2018. I feel as though Pro Wrestling Eve really helped to shape me as a wrestler. And I've learned so much there from so many of their incredible women and incredible talents that they bring over. I've been able to learn a lot there. So I think those years I think of so, I look back and I think so fondly of them.
Absolutely. I'm just going to bring up this picture here from a few years ago when you were the PCW Women's Champion, of course. Now, I think I may have mentioned this to you before, but possibly going back a couple of years ago, I had Rio on the show on Wrestling with Jonas. Yeah, probably close to 2 years ago. And we spoke during her interview at length about the series of matches and the feud and the rivalry that you had with Rio. I think it was 2017 and 2018. Now, I have a list of some of the crazy matches the two of you had. A Falls Count Anywhere match, a ladder match, a blindfold match, a last women's standing match. There might have even been one or two standard one-on-one thrown in there as well, and maybe a triple threat involving Viper as well. But most, if not all, of their matches revolved around the PCW Women's Championship. And on occasions, you were the champion, and others, you were, trying to wrestle it off of Rio quite literally. But she said that that was probably one of the fondest feuds, times, rivalries she's ever had. And I think when I mentioned it to you, I think you said likewise. But fond memories of your time wrestling Rio with the belt involved and all the weird and wonderful stipulations.
Yes, absolutely. They were such fun and exciting and interesting stipulations. And that was my first real feud with somebody. You know, it was my first, I was having repeat bookings constantly from PCW, and so was Rio. And it was just always me and her there. And it's so funny because I lived hours and hours and hours away from Preston. You know, I was nowhere near a local girl, and it was absolutely not my home promotion at the time. But we were able to wrestle each other match in, match out constantly, consistently. And it was such a fun feud. I would love to run it back. I would love to wrestle Rio regularly with a proper feud and storyline again. Because, and I think the way that we've both developed, like Rio has always been an amazing wrestler, but she has come out of her shell and is so insane and so good. And I would love to run back those old PCW days now and do all sorts of crazy stipulations once again.
Well, absolutely. We spoke about Barcelona and RCW earlier, and I think you were able to revisit or maybe rekindle one or two memories. I think you two wrestled whilst you were the champion at the back end of
Yes.
last year, and earlier last year, I think you wrestled each other in a Pro Wrestling Eve match. But those would have been the only two occasions dating back from when you had your fantastic rivalry all them years earlier. So two,
Yeah.
I'm guessing two. You know, a different set of circumstances, but two totally different wrestlers between then and 2023.
Totally different. Yeah, absolutely, totally different. And it's sad really because we went from seeing each other so regularly, so often. She was like the most the my top person that I'd worked in the amount of numbers and amount of matches that we'd had. And then it went years without seeing each other. And we got back to regularly seeing each other at Pro Wrestling Eve, but then we just never really being
Cross
booked
paths.
against each other or having matches against each other. So even though we were able to rekindle, it was, yeah, we've hardly actually wrestled each other. Like you said, it was only singles match at Pro Wrestling Eve once, the singles match for RCW, and recently in a tag team match, whereas me and Livy Grace is the Uprising versus Rio and Lucy Sky, and that was for Catch up north. So I would absolutely love to encounter Rio more, and I think there's really something we could build on.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely, and I think she's the women's champion over in Progress, and ICW's doing some marvelous things, as are you, of course. And but we're sticking with kind of the earlier days now, and kind of maybe mid 2010s up to 2019. What were some of them key moments, or maybe light bulb moments, if you can recall? You said that you wasn't a natural wrestler, a natural performer to start off with, and you've had to work hard and develop your skills. Any particular key moments or light bulb moments that really helped to put things into place for yourself?
Yeah, I think with every championship win, especially at places that you really admire, like when I did win the PCW championship, I was really proud and really happy. And I think that was at that point a really big moment for me. But also, I think the biggest moments for me personally have been sharing locker rooms and wrestling against my like idols in the business and people that I really, really respect and look up towards and idolize. Like I had a singles match with Toni Storm, and I was so nervous, but just being able to speak to somebody of that caliber and being against them as their opponent, I think it does take two to tango, and you're to a certain extent only as good as the person that you're wrestling. And I think when I have had that opportunity to wrestle people that are l so many miles above me, it's really brought out the best in me. So again, when I wrestled Mercedes Martinez for Pro Wrestling Eve, that was one of my like all-time dream matches, and it is available on YouTube, so it is up there. And I remember finally meeting Mercedes after being such a huge fan of her work. And it was really one of those moments where, out of everyone at the Eve locker room, I couldn't believe it was me that they chose to have that singles match. And it just filled me with so much confidence. And I felt so I learned so much by being in that ring with her. I think that was also a huge, huge moment for
Yeah,
me.
absolutely. Let's jump to some more questions and comments that have come through.
Yeah.
Now we've had a his name won't come up, but I've checked Facebook, and this is a certain Matt Ball. Not sure if he's familiar with you, whether you're familiar with him, but I haven't seen her in forever. But Nightshade is honestly one of the nicest people in the business. Sorry, Spain Smithson. And we've actually had
Yes,
Sky
Matt.
Smithson is watching at home. Who's your favorite tag team partner from Sky Smithson?
Stop it. It is not. I love how she tried to sneak in there anonymously.
Well,
Facebook user.
but how would you like to answer Sky Smithson there?
It's absolutely Sky Smithson.
There we go. Easy, easy.
I love you. And I can't wait to take on the world in 2024.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Although she's getting distracted with her LAE.
That's right, yes. Doing some great things with the Lana Austin Experience and LA Taylor, of course. Got a very, very bright 2024 ahead of them. But where I think we've seen the most of one another in the last couple of years has been Immortal Wrestling, of course. The Southwest-based promotion, my home promotion. And I've seen you kind of win and defend the Immortal Wrestling Women's Championship on a number of occasions. I think it's up to nearly 2 years now as champion, 640 days or something ridiculous like that. Tell us a little bit about your journey with Immortal, because I've got some pictures here and I flashed this picture up before, and thank you very much Y2Grey for the fantastic picture there. I know that you won the title in a triple threat match. The triple threat match involved the Luna Blue. You defended it a few months later against the Luna, and more recently against Violet Knight. So at the time they would have been a lot less experienced, and you would have been the kind of the vet in the ring, taking them under your wing and kind of guiding them through the match possibly. But you've had a good little run with Immortal Wrestling and some fine championship defenses as well.
Yeah, it's been really awesome to work there for Immortal. And, you know, it was great to come in and be able to become champion pretty soon after debuting there.
Yeah.
And I've really enjoyed every show and every opportunity that I've had there. So it's been awesome.
And I know I spoke to Violet Knight after her match, which was just a few months ago from the Southwick Village Hall. And she said that it was a dream come true for her to wrestle you, let alone for a championship. And she actually said that it was her favourite and possibly her best match of her career so far.
I mean,
what did you think back to your match with Violet Knight? And like, so how was she to get in the ring with?
Yeah, she was really, really fun. Really fun to wrestle. I could feel the nerves, I think, because she is so new into her career. But, you know, when you hear people say things like that, that it was a dream come true, like, that's really special to me. And the fact that people could even think that is just, like, makes me so happy. So, yeah, that is really, really sweet.
Absolutely, and we look forward to seeing you defend your title many more times in an Immortal ring. But let me ask you, we've spoken a lot about 2023 and your fantastic last couple of years and your fantastic rise through the business to where you are now and a truly international talent. But looking ahead to 2024, I know you said you've taken a few weeks off and your last performance was in a Pro Wrestling E-ring, but thinking ahead, obviously a rejuvenated, refreshed, motivated Nightshade. What was 2024 looking like for you? What are you most excited about?
I think I'm just most excited to carry on this journey and to see where it's going to go. You know, 2023 really was like one of the best years of my life, both personally and like in wrestling. Like when my wrestling is going well and I feel like I'm achieving cool things and doing well, it's like the biggest, most important thing in my life. And it's the thing that I love so much. So it always makes me really happy as a whole. But hopefully 2024 will have lots of travel, hopefully some new experiences that I've never experienced before within wrestling. That would be awesome. And really, I'm not entirely sure right now what the year is going to hold. And that's what's so fun about this industry. But I'm definitely hoping for some big things, and I'm just really excited.
Absolutely. Now, very soon, we're going to ask you for your socials and to plug your merch. But just a quick reminder that my next guest to finish off this fantastic month of January on Wrestling with John's, Axel Carter, will be coming onto the show in just 7 days' time, live 8 p.m. next Tuesday. And of course, my February lineup looks like this once again: Jay Joshua on the 8th, Scotty Rourke on the 12th, Alexis Falcon on the 20th and the guys from United Wrestling on the 29th. And thank you very much to Elliot93, who designed this awesome thumbnail for the Alexis Falcon interview. And yes. this is the big exclusive that I was alluding to. I've already got to my guests for March already lined up, but one big guest that's coming onto the Wrestling Magellan's podcast on Monday, the 4th of March, is Eddie Dennis. Eddie Dennis will be joining me live on Wrestling Magellan's Monday, the 4th of March. And there's no better reason to subscribe to us on YouTube or follow us on whatever audio platform you are listening to us on, so you don't miss out on Axel Carter, my February lineup, and of course Eddie Dennis, the 4th of March. But I can see we are a pet friendly show around here, Nightshade. You've got your little dog here. Is it? That is a dog.
My cat.
It's a cat. My apologies. I only saw the tail in the back half.
Oh my god. My cats. I have two. And when we first started this interview, one of my cats was running wild. And I was like, oh my gosh, I hope you don't hear her just like charging about like a lunatic. And yes, I have two cats and I absolutely, you can see him there.
Yep, very beautiful. I've got two cats, so two dogs, cute. Several fish. And a number of kids running around the house. So it's always lively here in the Scott household. But as you can probably see, I've got your socials scrolling along the bottom of the screen. Yeah. So if any of my viewers or listeners want to reach out to you, say hi, learn more about Nightshade or Lampshade, whichever of the two, where can they do so? And tell us where we can get your merch as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Come and follow this journey with me. It's, you know, I absolutely love connecting with people. So I am Nightshade Wrestler on Instagram and Facebook, Nightshade PW on X, which is so weird to say because I shouldn't say Twitter. Like, we'll forever just be Twitter.
I've only just got used to it.
It's not X, it's Twitter. And I have a variety of merchandise available on my Big Cartel, which is nightshadewrestler.bigcartel.com, I believe. And I also have a Patreon platform where I do behind-the-scene looks on everything that I'm getting up to. It also has my first designs of all of my new outfits with colour sneak peeks. As soon as I get them, I do, like, try-ons. I also do vlogs, so I will take you with me for my international bookings. I started off with daily vlogs whilst I was in Japan for the month and a half. And then I went to weekly vlogs. So my entire 6 weeks in Japan with Marvelous is documented on my Patreon in the back catalogue. And I believe my last Japanese trip as well. So that's a great way to get to know more about me and to really kind of connect on a personal level. But I would love to see you guys pop up on my socials.
Absolutely. Go and reach out and say hi and check out Nightshade's Patreon as well. But Nightshade, the deadly one, it's been a pleasure speaking to you on episode 343 of Wrestling with Jonas. Like I say, it's a long time in the works, but we finally did it. It was an absolute delight. And thank you so much from me.
Thank you so much for having me. And it's been so much fun. And thank you so much to everyone that's watched and commented. It really means a lot.
There we go.
And thank you.
Thank you very much, Nightshade. See you down the road.
Absolutely.